Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is very important and timely to the multifamily industry, and the topic is the Great Resignation in Multifamily. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans and industry educators, as well as wonderful supplier partners to our industry, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Content Strategy with Grace Hill, and Kara Rice, Chief Communications Officer with Swift Bunny. Welcome, ladies.
Good morning. Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you, Paul.
You're so welcome. And Stephanie, I'll start with you. When you sent me the idea for doing an episode on this topic, and you gave me the topic title of the Great Resignation in Multifamily, I mean, that sounds so ominous. But it is something that we should take very seriously. Let's talk a little about it and tell us a little bit about what made you want to discuss this.
So thank you. Professor Anthony Klotz had coined the term Great Resignation. So someone outside of our industry saying, okay, this is a trend that we're going to start seeing, with really the belief that the rise of hybrid and remote work was pretty much the starting cause behind the idea. If we start to unpack that a little bit more, we really start to think about pandemic life and how this pandemic has really been life-changing for most, if not all of us. And so if we have to think about our perspective on life and work and that balance that kind of falls in between, we've learned from this pandemic that we have to better prioritize what's most important to us and how we want to continue to do work in the future. As an example, when we think about what we do and why it matters, people will ask you about your why, and you start thinking about your work as being more meaningful than just bringing home a paycheck. And so that started thinking about this whole Great Resignation. Now, if we think back to 2019, I would coin that as the year pre-pandemic, where we started to see a lot of data as to a change, sort of the beginning of an evolution, as I'll say, as why people were starting to think about what was most meaningful for them. And that was really when we started to see the idea of flexibility in the workplace start to really come about. Some of the trendier workplaces like Google and Facebook and so forth started to allow more flexibility than usual into their environment, and it started getting people thinking about how they do work on a daily basis. And so you might have also heard the Great Resignation as termed the Great Reshuffle. I've seen that on some social media boards, and that's another way of just defining this unprecedented moment in history of work where, again, we're all kind of rethinking what we do and why we do it. And we're finding that, this is all leading to a greater focus on engagement, better prioritizing, again, why we're doing what we're doing each and every day. And so now we're seeing numbers hit. And Paul, I know Kara will know this, but I am just baffled when I saw the statistics from April of this year, 2021, 4 million employees exiting the workforce post-pandemic. Is that not mind-boggling to everyone?
Yeah. And Kara, what type of numbers do you see specifically for multifamily?
Right. So Stephanie is spot on. I think 2020 threw challenges at us that forced people to do some serious soul searching. But not only that, You know, multifamily, it's no surprise to either of you and probably not to any of our listeners. We've got a problem with excessive employee turnover, even in the best of times. So even pre-COVID, this was a challenge for us. So right now, with this severe labor shortage that we are facing, the problem is only that much more urgent in multifamily. So we have been tracking employee turnover. Our clients over here at Swift Bunny are keenly focused on employee engagement and retention. So we track employee turnover to help them benchmark their own performance. And we just recently published a second quarter employee turnover report. So you may not be surprised to hear that the figures are fairly grim, especially in certain positions. So I'm going to put you on the spot here and ask, do either of you have a guess as to which position is experiencing the highest annualized turnover?
So before Paul answers, I have to say that I already saw the report because I follow Swift Bunny and all of your great data.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to let Paul guess. I would tell you that was in my top two choices what the answer is. But, Paul, you, because I would be unfair to answer this question.
Well, I would have to say, I mean, this is I haven't seen your report, so I have no idea what it actually is. But from a lot of the conversations I have with people in the industry, they sure talk a lot about turnover in the maintenance position. So I don't know if that's even in the picture or not.
You got it. Too bad this is not Jeopardy. But yeah, I know.
Tell them what you won.
Yes, right.
Yeah. So on-site maintenance, we are showing at an annualized turnover rate of 55% far this year. Yeah. And it doesn't actually get much better in the other roles. Right behind that is on-site leasing. They're at 52% for annualized turnover so far in 2021. So if you think about it, communities are having to replace more than half of their leasing and their maintenance team members throughout the year. So that means a lot of positions sitting vacant until you find the right hire. And then even once you find that hire, a lot of untrained staff members who are obviously not performing at the highest level because they're new, right? So think about the impact that that has on prospect and resident service levels. It is just a huge, huge challenge. So anything that multifamily leaders can do to improve employee retention is going to pay off in terms of service delivery for residents.
And I was going to say when you said it, even in the best of times, we've always had a problem in multifamily. I mean, let's face it. I can't think of one multifamily position that's out there that is not a difficult job. I mean, whether it's a maintenance technician, whether it's a property manager, a leasing agent, or even a regional type of person, they are generally overworked. And even without the turnover, they're stretched thin on doing what they're doing. So it doesn't surprise me that even under these circumstances, when they are turnover. And I did have a conversation just recently with someone who said, you know, as far as our maintenance teams go on our properties, we have some properties where we have one maintenance tech covering three properties because they can't find somebody to put on each property. Mm-hmm. So it really is a critical situation out there.
Unfortunately, it kind of snowballs. Sorry, Stephanie. Yeah, it snowballs. When you're short staffed, that's added strain to employees and drives them out the door.
Yeah. Stephanie, we have about 2 minutes left in this segment. let's talk a little bit more about some of the things that were pre-pandemic that you saw, because I think that's we tend to forget. We're all so concerned on this. It wasn't that great before as far as turnover. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you can recall from that period.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our industry has always been a higher turnover industry, as Kira mentioned. You know, pre-pandemic, and you know, actually through probably end of 2020 or so, you know, IREM had stated that multifamily turnover rate was about 33%. And that is much higher as compared to a national rate of turnover for all industries. And that's about 22%. Mm-hmm. So we were already at a higher end of that. And now when you compare that to, let's say, the maintenance turnover from the data with Swift Bunny to 55% now in 2021, I mean, that is significant. One of the interesting facts that I had found out when doing some research with IREM was that the average property manager is nearing 50 years old. So now on top of the turnover we're already seeing from pandemic, we start to think about retirement and the lack of talent that our industry is going to have as we continue on, you know, to follow through with, you know, those who would be aging out of working. So that then will create, on top of this great resignation, kind of a snowball effect of additional problems. You know, when we look at some of the data, I mentioned earlier, when we looked at 2019, we started to see that there was a need for more flexibility in the workplace and a little bit more meaningful work. As we think about pre-pandemic, we already knew that people were thinking about changing jobs for something more meaningful. You know, I'll give you an example. Is pre-pandemic, there was about 25% of the labor force who would be interested in taking a lower salary in exchange for different work environments like a hybrid model or flexibility. And at that point, we didn't really know what a hybrid model looked like. It was more of, hey, can I come to the office maybe a day or two a week? Can I work remotely some? Can I alter my daily working hours to accommodate my at-home schedule with, you know, caring for children, ailing parents, and so forth and so on. Now, if that was 25% there, now what we're seeing in 2021 is there's now an increase to 41%. Now, when you hear that, I'm not telling you to pay people lower, right, in exchange for this. What I'm saying is people are starting to think differently in terms of what they're looking for in a partnership within an employer. And 41% are saying, hey, I'd be willing to take a lower salary for you to meet my other needs and obligations. So instead of lowering the salary, we should be thinking as employers and leaders, how can we better accommodate our people so that they're happier at work and produce better results?
All right, we're gonna have to end it here, and we are going to be back right after these messages. We're going to get right back into that topic. I think that's a great point. We'll be back after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing something that is extremely important to the multifamily industry, and that is the Great Resignation in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans and industry educators, as well as wonderful supplier partners to our industry, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Content Strategy with Grace Hill, and Kara Rice, Chief Communications Officer with Swift Bunny. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So we in the first segment, we were really kind of just quantifying and confirming that there is a dire situation with the resignations in multifamily and employee turnover. But let's kind of drill down in this segment on some of the reasons for that. Stephanie, do you want to take it?
Sure. So what we're seeing is there are top three concerns for employees right now in terms of how they're prioritizing what they're looking for, either in their current employment or their future employment. And those are work-life balance, flexibility, and mental health. Now, I don't think any of those three shock anyone, especially probably not the three of us. But, you know, those are all very top of mind for employees. Their mindset is, okay, I worked in 2020 during the height of the pandemic, right, when we didn't know what we were going to be doing 5 minutes forward to what we were doing then, because everything was steadily changing and we were just figuring things out as we went. And yet we did it, and we did it successfully in most cases. And so employees are now saying, okay, there's no such thing as going back to normal, right? We can't even call it normalizing anything because it's different. Life is different and we're all forever changed. But in many situations, there were offices that, you know, leasing offices that worked on a very smaller skeleton crew type scale. There were situations where maintenance were divided in half because oftentimes they weren't working the same day. You know, group A worked different than group B and so forth to ensure that there was less exposure levels. And yet everyone did it and it worked. So now the thought process is, if it worked back then, why should we change it now? Why should things be different now when we could do it then a particular way? And so then it starts to think about the cycle. How do we stop the cycle of employees and, you know, retainment of those employees to get them to stay? One of the things that I see all too often, and Kara, I would love to hear your perspective on this too, is that there's so many opportunities for companies to create really creative benefit packages and to snazz things up to get new talent in the door. But the question always goes to the retainment of that talent within your organization. So why aren't we doing more to keep the great talent that's already working in our organization by changing job descriptions and by allowing more flexibility and that work-life balance that everyone is yearning for? Why are we doing that more for new employees coming in and less for the retainment of the current team members in place?
Mm-hmm. It is such a good question, Stephanie. And, you know, I liken it to how we treat our residents and our prospects. You know, when occupancy is down, we do all these great specials to try to attract new residents. And who do we tick off? The current residents. So it's really a similar thing happening here where employers are having to pull out all the stops to attract new talent to the workforce, which is understandable and appropriate. But, you know, our current employees have eyes and ears. They see this happening as well. And so it's really a tricky thing for management companies to make sure that they can both bring in the new recruits, but also not cause themselves another problem by angering their current employees who are thinking, hey, what about me? I have been serving you during the worst of times here, and you're paying a sign-on bonus of $1,000 to somebody who's brand spanking new. How does that make sense? So it is a real challenge for sure.
You know, I had a guest on a previous episode of the show for a couple of months ago, and we were talking about, they were an operator, and we were talking about how they you know, what they did differently during the pandemic. And one of the things that they said they did was they immediately established a fund that totaled more than $1 million that they ended up, I guess after the first wave of the pandemic was over and things started to get better, that they divided that up amongst all of their frontline workers who put in all the time to make sure their properties stayed open. And of course, I followed up with a question of, how was your employee turnover? And it was drastically reduced, much lower than other folks in the industry. So I think it makes sense when employees see appreciation, whether it's financial or otherwise, that that could help with keeping employee turnover down. We've got about 3.5 minutes left in this segment. Stephanie, let's talk about some of the other things. I know one thing you had mentioned earlier was toxic culture.
Yes, and you know, toxic culture does go back to the conversation we just had in terms of how are we valuing employees? Are we valuing new talent that we're trying to capture at a higher level than what we are with retainment of talent within our organization? And, you know, one of the things that I think has been a huge cause of toxic culture this past year is when leadership is not acknowledging and having empathy for employees and their feelings and concerns. Oftentimes it's easy to dismiss those when you have a larger workforce and you're very concerned about all of the, you know, changes within our environment from the business side that you can't forget about the people. And actually I should say not just before, because we kind of got past a little bit of this, and now with the Delta variant being out, so many of those feelings of uncertainty and unsafety are back that many of us had back in 2020. And so how are we addressing those as leaders to then say, I understand your feelings, I understand that, you know, they're valid, and this is how we're going to address them. And when I say address them, I don't mean you need to change everything within your organization. I mean listening to your employees, letting them know that their feelings are valid, and then making decisions that will help to understand their feelings better in business decisions moving forward to ensure the safety and you know, cooperation of all employees. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in segment three, because I do want to get into a little bit about employee surveys, which I know Kara will be excited to talk about.
Yeah, we've got about a minute and a half left. I want to just ask one question, though. How important is it to show that an employee can, and we've got about, like I said, a minute left to answer this question, but how important is it to give employees some type of a pathway to advancement?
It's huge. You know, it's meaningful.
Quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
It is. It's one of the top things that leasing consultants in particular complain about, that they don't see a career path and they're unaware of advancement opportunities. So what that tells me is it's important to them, and there's an opportunity there for leaders to do a better job of providing that pathway for their team.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the pathway to advancement for a leasing employee would be, except that I can tell you that out of the 300 plus guests I've had over the last 4 years on our show here, I always ask people how they got in the industry, and they all started, all but two started as leasing agents, and their pathway from there led to management. So, you know, maybe mm-hmm. that's the natural way of advancement from a leasing agent. But we could talk about that a little bit more, too, in the next segment. We're going to go ahead and break it here, and we are going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is very important to the multifamily industry, and our topic today is the Great Resignation in Multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining by me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans and industry educators. They're wonderful supplier partners to our industry. Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Content Strategy with Grace Hill, and Kara Rice, Chief Communications Officer with Swift Bunny. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Speaking of decisions, let's talk a little bit about the decision-making process when it comes to our topic of dealing with employee turnover, and how important is it to have data for the decision makers when it comes to employees? Stephanie, you want to?
I'll jump in, Paul. It's Kara.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's critically important, and I think this is a real opportunity for multifamily folks right now. And of course, we're focused at Swift Bunny on employee surveys. We work with management companies to conduct employee feedback surveys throughout the entire employee life cycle. And the thinking behind that is, how are you really going to know where your workforce is at risk if you're not hearing from them, if you're not asking those questions? So if you think about it, almost all management companies use surveys with their resident customers, you know, to find out where they can make improvements to their service and how they can improve satisfaction. And the goal of that is to improve resident retention ultimately. But very few do this same exercise with their internal customers, their employees. And I think it's really a massive blind spot for multifamily operators. So you really have to have that same goal in mind with your employee customers, their satisfaction and their retention, and of course, high performance. So once again, I advocate, let's use those skills that we've already mastered with our resident surveys, our resident customers, let's redirect it and uncover feedback from our teams. So when you're surveying employees, you find out what's working well for them at work so that you can do more of that. But you also find out the opportunities. You can uncover what's bugging them so that you have the opportunity to make some meaningful changes and hopefully keep those employees in your team, keep them from heading out the door.
And let me ask you this question, because you mentioned that that's a massive blind spot, and I agree with you on that. Do you think that it's a blind spot because the operators don't want to know what the employees have to say, the ones that haven't been doing it, because they're frightened by what they might find out, or because mm-hmm. they undervalue or devalue what the, well, that's just them, you know, we know better than they do type of thing. Or is it that they don't know that it's available to do?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's probably all of the above, Paul. You know, I think it's a minority of leaders who think, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
But certainly there are some of those, right, who are that kind of ostrich with the head in the sand mm-hmm. approach. You know, there could be bad news there. I'd rather not hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for most, I think it's just not the way that we've always done things. One practice that is widely held in multifamily is to do an annual employee review. And that's better than no surveys of your employees. But when you look at the numbers we've talked about already in this show, how frequently employees turn over, if you're only surveying them once a year, you're not even getting the same employees year after year in many cases because they've already moved on. So it's just not frequent enough.
And Stephanie, what do you think? I think the employee surveys is a fantastic idea, but what other things can employers do to add to that to their arsenal as far as with employees?
I think just getting feedback, just honest, you know, transparent feedback is going to be really key here. Exit interviews that some companies may or may not do can be a great opportunity to capture feedback. Oftentimes, it is assumed that when you are getting feedback after a person has decided to leave your organization, that it could be predominantly negative. And I think with anything in life, you have to take it at face value. You listen to the concerns and you see what can be addressed moving forward. And you can actually use that to analyze data moving forward. So if you have, you know, 20 employees within a 3-month period that have left the company and all of them during exit interviews have kind of alleviated to a similar situation or a similar company policy that had, you know, started or been the root of their frustration or why they were leaving, it starts to present opportunity to make meaningful change as to, okay, does this really make sense when the masses start to say that it was a problem or that it did not make their jobs easier? Start to think about that. You know, when I was doing research on employee data and thinking about it from a leadership perspective, I found that it was really interesting. SHRM, who I go to for all of my HR needs, that is the Society of Human Resources Management, they had noted that 83% of HR leaders do agree that decisions need to be made using data that they hear firsthand from employees. But the interesting part is out of that 83%, only 37% are actually utilizing the data properly to make meaningful decisions. So, and we often find this in the industry in general, not just with this type of data, but let's say it's about leasing data or pricing data or whatever the case may be in our business operations. We capture it, but sometimes we don't have enough manpower or time to be able to go through and analyze the data. And we end up making decisions that are either gut decisions or they're based on just assumptions versus the data itself. And I think that this really hones in on the need for getting the feedback from employees so that we can make decisions that make the most meaning. Because what's happening in organization A over here is not necessarily happening in organization B. And there may be some similarities there, but again, we can't always assume that what we hear is happening within our four walls of our company. And that's how we make change, is to really listen.
We've got about 3.5 minutes left in this segment. I wanted to ask, though, what do you think is the importance of transparency in an organization when it comes to compensation?
You ever hear the saying, less is more?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't apply here. Oftentimes you'll hear people say that, okay, you know, say less and don't alleviate
too many assumptions or different things. I think pay transparency is really important. We talked a little bit earlier about employees stating that they would take a lesser pay in many situations so that they could make a trade-off for better benefits such as flexibility or work-life balance. What's key here, though, is that they shouldn't have to take a lesser pay because we're not asking them to do less of their knowledge or less of their everyday job duties. In fact, with this pandemic, if we didn't learn anything else, we know that many people have been overworked. We're asking them to do more than we have in the past because our environments have changed significantly. So pay transparency is vitally important when we think about the frustration that comes from employees for reasons to leave. You ever hear of stories where a maintenance technician will go to another company for 50 cents more an hour?
Right.
50 cents more an hour. And, you know, that's just one small example. But the point being is that they feel some sort of additional value that a new company coming in would want to pay them more than their current company would. And the idea with pay transparency is that it can alleviate a lot of the frustration that people are all making what they should be making based on their position, based on their market or locality, based on their color, ethnicity, sex, based on their experience that they bring to the table. And I think pay transparency, at least having ranges, definitely helps with that.
We got about 1 minute left, Carol. What does some of your research tell you about pay and how that is important to employee turnover?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you'll never hear employees saying that they make too much money, right? So this is always a concern in good times and in bad. So I want to add one recommendation here that a lot of our clients have used surrounding pay. And this one doesn't cost anything. They work with their team members to educate them on the value of the benefits package. Many employees just don't understand or they don't appreciate just how much that benefit package is worth, such as the health insurance and paid time off. Particularly people who are new in their careers, they're just not assigning, you know, a dollar and cents value to that. So leaders can do that for them. And it's a really good practice to create a benefit statement that spells it all out and calculates the value for everything that you have to offer. And only then can team members really see how much they're getting by working for you. And perhaps you can save them from thinking that 50 cents an hour more across town makes sense for them.
That's a great suggestion. That's a great suggestion. We are going to break it here for this segment. We're going to be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
The Multifamily Leasing Company is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is very timely and important to our industry, that is the Great Resignation in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone, two longtime multifamily industry veterans, industry educators, and wonderful supplier partners to our industry, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Content Strategy with Grace Hill, and Kara Rice, Chief Communications Officer with Swift Bunny. By the way, I wanted to let our multifamily supplier partner listeners know that if you're interested in any sponsorship opportunities, we do have some very unique ones. If you would like to find out more, contact us at multifamilyradio.com. Kara, I know there was something that we promised we would get back to. Pathways to promotion. Let's talk a little bit about that before we jump back into where we were going to go.
Oh, great. Yeah. We spoke earlier about this being really a stressor, particularly for leasing team members. They want to be able to grow. They want to be able to move up. And what we hear in our employee feedback surveys is there's a fair amount of confusion and uncertainty. They feel like they don't really know how to do that. And there's also this added frustration. They see the company hiring from the outside, and they didn't even know there were open opportunities. So I think the lessons here for leaders are twofold. First of all, I would encourage you to have career conversations with your team members regularly. And that doesn't cost a thing. It's just a matter of having scheduling time, one-on-one meetings with your team members. Find out what their goals are and find out where they want to go. It doesn't mean that you're making promises that you're going to get them into those promotions tomorrow, but at least you know where their head is and what they are after. And it also gives you an opportunity to tell your promotion stories. Multifamily is an amazing career path for so many of us. And let's show that off to these team members in the entry-level positions and give them something to strive for. And then the second tip that I've got here is you really have to rethink how you are publicizing and socializing all open positions within your company. We hear time and time again from leaders who say, but we have a jobs page. I don't understand how they don't know that there are open positions. But trust me, the people in the trenches tell us they do not know. So my recommendation here is for you to get redundant. Don't just post your open positions on your job page, but also, you know, send them out in your newsletter, send them out via email, post them on your intranet, socialize them in multiple ways. And that way you are going to reach more team members and do a better job of making them imagine their future within your organization.
All right. Those are great tidbits. Stephanie, let me ask you this question. What do you believe the future holds in multifamily for the job economy?
Great question. So the good news is that our industry is solid. We provide homes to people, and that is something that will always be a need. It's great to be in a place that is so well received and well needed. I mention that because, you know, during this pandemic, unfortunately, there's been so many businesses and industries that have really suffered tremendously. I won't make light of the situation in terms of the eviction moratorium and obviously lack of resident payments for a multitude of reasons that have greatly affected owners. But I will say as a whole, our industry has been extremely resilient and has remained solid. There's been a lot of data that has been put out the past couple months in terms of the rental market and the availability of increase in market rates, which is fantastic because, as you know, in 2020, there was a time where many companies were just going stagnant with renewal offers. They weren't doing any increases as a courtesy to what was going on, but also because the market was kind of uncertain at that point. And so the great news is that we do work in an industry that continues to excel and do really, really well. And what that means for employees is that there's always a need for employees. I get asked a lot of questions about, you know, artificial intelligence and the need for so much technology. And does that mean that leasing positions or other positions within organizations will be going away? Sort of like the self-checkout line at Target, right? Are employees going away? In multifamily, the beauty is no. We're actually using AI to complement the resident experience. And with doing that, it allows our employees to have a greater focus on other areas of the business when we do incorporate technology. So for me, what I see for the job economy is that it will remain strong. I think that we will see more openings happening, and I think it's going to give us a greater need to pull outside talent from other areas like hospitality, restaurants, other organizations that may have been struggling to bring them into our industry that has been doing really, really well. And I think that we will continue to see opportunity for veterans and trade schools, those who are coming straight out of high school into the workforce, and then, of course, college graduates. And so I think we have an opportunity as an industry, Kara mentioned before, about really putting ourselves out there, bringing in new talent on top of our initiatives and strategies to retain talent. So it's a great place for us to be.
And what are some of the resources that are available out there? I mean, this is something that's not going to go away. And, you know, people need to be as knowledgeable and as prepared as they can be to best deal with this trend. So what type of resources can they find?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. You know, Kingsley Surveys that Grace Hill has, as well as Swift Bunny and their employee surveys, those are great ways to do a pulse check, temperature check with your employees, and then being able to utilize that data to make meaningful decisions, as we spoke about earlier. Outside of our companies, you know, I always recommend people to have a membership with SHRM, the Society of Human Resources Management. They have great data and templates that you can use, and it's not just specific to our industry, so you can also see what else is going on in the world. Glassdoor, I love to look at for trends, not just, again, for multifamily, but just in the employment segment altogether. NAA and IRM produce a lot of great information and data, not just on COVID, and what's happening in that world, but also just around the people, our industry, you know, state of the union, everything that's happening. And I also wanted to mention, because we talked about pay transparency earlier, CEL and Associates has great data on not only pay, but also turnover information. And that's also relevant to the real estate market, specifically multifamily. So I would definitely recommend reaching out to any of those resources to gain some greater insight for your company to make decisions.
And what kind of upcoming events might people participate in to learn more?
Well, we are, a little less than 2 weeks away from NAA's Apartmentalize that's happening in Chicago, August 31st through September 2nd. I know myself, Kara, and you, Paul, will all be there. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to connecting with people. For many of us, it will be the first time we've seen others in person, probably in the past 18 months or more. But it's also a great opportunity to really learn and educate more, as well as networking. NAA has an app for the event. I actually downloaded it last week so I could look at all of the sessions and start to plan out my schedule. And it was really exciting to see all the different topics covered. And there's actually several that are going to be on similar topics to the Great Resignation, employee turnover, and so forth. So really, really great information if you're attending that, to be able to capture some great insights to take back to your company. And then Grace Hill is hosting our Performance Summit September 29th through October 1st. That's going to be in Denver, Colorado. And that is not just for customers of ours, but also non-customers. And we also have partnerships with other suppliers that will be attending as well. And that's going to be a smaller, you know, idea behind NAA's Apartmentalize in terms of a trade show, but also great education sessions and information that is just going to wow the attendees' minds. So I'm excited about that as well.
Well, fantastic. We as you said, we could probably talk about this topic for many episodes, but I do want to break it here and transition to a little bit about, I want to learn a little bit more about both Swift Bunny and Grace Hill. Also, if someone wanted to get in touch with either of you, how could they do it? And I guess we'll start with you, Kara. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about Swift Bunny and what's going on there.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. So we are in the business of employee engagement, and we work with property management companies exclusively. And we have what we call a survey system that extends the entire employee life cycle. So all the year through, we've got touch points with your team so that we can check in and see how work is working for them. And then in addition to those surveys, we provide a very user-friendly dashboard so that you can get your hands on that data all the time and really make informed decisions based on not just your gut, but on what the data tells you is happening with your team members. So you can find more information about our Engage Employee Lifecycle Surveys at our website, which is swiftbunny.com. I also wanted to mention, I shared some data today from our Q2 employee turnover report, and that's available for download on our website as well. So swiftbunny.com/research, and you'll find that report and a whole host of other white papers and publications that we have done over the years as well. Paul, I should mention that we will be at NAA. Okay. So if you want to check in with me and my colleagues, we will be in the exhibit hall in booth 986. And also, I get to do an education session there. I'm really excited about it.
So. Yep. That's wonderful. Stephanie, we got about a minute and a half left. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at Grace Hill.
Well, Grace Hill is, you know, we focus on people. Performance and property management performance. And, you know, what I like to use this time just a few seconds to say that many of people in the industry understand Grace Hill to be a learning management system, which we do have vision where we, you know, train best in class. But I want to mention really quickly, we also offer policies and procedures that are customized to your organization. We do mystery shopping, Kingsley surveys, which I mentioned earlier, where we, you know, help with strategic decision making, with engaging stakeholders based on the information you've received from your employees, and then reputation builder, which is simplifying the online world in kind of a one-stop repository. And so we offer so many more products, I think, than most may know who are not familiar with us. So I always say, do you know the new Grace Hill? Because we have really evolved over the years. We will also be at NAA. We are actually right down around the corner from Swift Bunny. So you can visit with Kara and visit with me and our teams. I'm looking forward to connecting with everyone. Of course, the easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn, just Stephanie Anderson. You can search and find me there. Love to connect with everyone.
Kara, real quick, how can they connect with you if they wanted to reach you?
Mm-hmm. Same thing on the socials is easiest. LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. You can find me as Kara Rice.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, ladies. Again, we'd love to have you back sometime very soon. We could talk about this topic for a long time. But we are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.